right, turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Judges chapter 15. And we're going to begin there in verse 8, but the meat of our text is going to be in verses 14 to 20. But we'll begin Judges chapter 15, verse 8 this morning. I was originally going to be preaching in another place, and the Lord changed it on me just a little bit before I came to the service today. And every time that happens, I always get scared, but I don't know why, because I know God's in control. Amen. But every time that happens, I was looking at it this morning. I was standing up here in the pulpit just a little while ago, and I was like, there it is. That's what I was going to preach on this morning. But it's like, I feel God saying in my heart, no, that's not what you need to talk about today. You need to talk about what I was showing you this morning. And so we're going to talk about that, Judges chapter 15. We're going to begin there in verse 8, but we're going to preach on verses 14 to 20 this morning. I think this message will be a blessing to you. God's word is always a blessing. Amen. And so it'll help us. The Bible says it'll go out and it'll do what God has called it to do, commanded it to do, and that it will not return void. And so we're going to look at God's word this morning, Judges chapter 15. And we're going to begin there in verse 8. The title of my message today is Samson's Success. Samson's Success. Now we understand that Samson had some moments in his life where he was not very successful. I mean, he wasn't a man that was successful in everything that he did, but hey, neither are we. Amen. Sometimes we have those moments where we're very successful, things are going great, everything's going really good, but we also had those moments in life where, listen, things are not necessarily going like we wanted them to go, not necessarily like we planned for them to go. How many have ever planned for things to go well? How many of you ever started a trip, you got everything planned out, you got everything in the car, you think you got this great trip planned, man, you're excited, everybody's motivated about going on vacation and all that, and no sooner you get down the road, you realize you forgot something, or something happens, the kid throws up in the car, or, the tire goes flat, or something like that happens, and you're like, great, day in the morning, And so, hey, listen, sometimes everything doesn't go as we had planned. But I tell you what, there's one thing that we do know is in our Christian life, we have those ups and downs. We have those hills and valleys. Listen, every hill has a valley. We have those ups and downs. We have those hills and valleys in our life. We have those times where we're on the mountains. We have those times when we're down real low. We all have these different experiences in our life from time to time as we journey through the Christian life. But what is it that we can see how, as we're going through this journey, different battles we face and different things that come up, different things that we need in life, what is it that we can see that God does, and how can we be successful in our Christian life? Well, I want us to take a look at Samson's success this morning. Now, we understand he wasn't always on top of his game, and neither are we. He had his moments just like we do, and just like Peter and Paul and all these other guys and all the other ladies in the Bible as well. But we're going to look at a moment in his life where, I tell you what, he was on top, and God was really moving, and God was providing, and God was doing some awesome things in his life. And so let's take a look at it here today. I think it'll be a blessing to you. I want to pull some truths out. I think it'll help you in your spiritual life this morning on how we can be a successful Christian in the sight of the Lord. Now, we also understand, before we get in our text, we understand this, that God looks at success completely different as the world looks at it. Amen. God looks at success completely different as the world looks at it. See, the world has its own view of what success is. The world has its own view of what a successful family is. The world has its own view of what a successful job is, or what a successful dad is, or what a successful mother or leader or whatever. The world has its own view, its own perspective of what success is. But God has a completely different view than what the world has. And so, as we look at our text here today, I want us to see a Christian view. Of course, there's so many things that we can add into it. Ain't got time for it this morning. But let's take a small glimpse, a little example of the life of Samson here today, on what we can see how God moved and provided in his life that helped him to be a successful person for him. Now let's take a look at it. Let's begin there in verse 8. The Bible says, and he smote them, hip and thigh with a great slaughter, talking about Samson there, and he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock of Edom. He was battling with the Philistines. And there in verse 9, the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, why are you come up against us? And they answered, to bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he has done to us. And then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock of Edom and said to Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, as they did unto me, so as I have done unto them. And they said unto him, we are come down to bind thee. His own people wanted to bind him up because they said that we are, the Philistines rule over us, and here you are making war against them, and you're making them mad, and now they're here, and they're going to attack us. And so they said, we're going to come and bind you up. And so it says there in verse 12, and they said to him, we are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said to them, swear unto me that you will not fall upon me yourselves. In other words, you promised me that you're not going to kill me yourself. And there in verse 13, and they spake unto him, saying, no, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand, and surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. Now, we're getting ready to begin verse 14. But I want you to see something here that we see that God's people there had decided, you know, they said, you know what? The enemy rules over us. The Philistines, they're more powerful than we are. They're more stronger than we are. And they rule over us. And he says, and now here you come. You're stirring everything up and you've got them all mad. Now they're up here. They want to slay us. And so what we're going to do to keep ourselves alive is we're going to just bind you and we're going to take you down there to them as an offering, you know. So we'll just tie you up, deliver you to them, and maybe they'll leave us alone. But I just got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know what, how that is that why did God's people think that we have to be bound by the enemy? Amen? Ask yourself that. Why do we think that we have to be bound by the enemy? I mean, the God's people here were saying, you know what, the Philistines, they rule over us, and they were going to be satisfied with living their life with the Philistines having rule over them. Listen, why do God's people, why do we as God's people, why would we want to be satisfied with the enemy having rule over us? Why would we want to be satisfied with the devil having rule over our family, having rule over our life? Why would we want to be satisfied with different things that's out in the world, such as drugs and alcohol and all these different, why would we want to be satisfied with having these things rule over us? But I tell you what, as God's people, we'll do it. We'll just kind of say, well, you know what? This is just the way it is. You ever heard somebody say that before? This is just the way it is. Well, listen, why keep going on with it being just the way it is when you know it can be better? So why be satisfied with this is just the way it is? Why don't we just ask God to move in and do something tremendous? Why don't we ask God to move in our homes and to move in our personal lives? And why don't we ask God to do something great because we serve a great God? Amen? And so why be satisfied with the status quo? Why just be satisfied with the way it is? I mean, why be satisfied with being bound? Why be satisfied with having the enemy be in charge over your home, be in charge over your life, being in charge over the way you do things and what you do, and be in charge over how you speak and what you think? And why would we want the enemy to be in charge over all that? But here we see God's people. They were just going to bow down. They were just going to submit. They saw the deliverer was there, Samson. They knew his strength. They knew that the power of God was upon him. But yet, even when they saw that they could be free, they were still yet choosing to be bound up. You say, that doesn't make any sense. Well, listen, we decide to do that every single day. We know that we serve a God that says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. We know that we serve a God that says that the Bible says that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Yet we will choose every single day to let the enemy have reign over our life. And we'll choose that. But why would we do that? They did the very same thing. Well, notice what happens. We get down to verse 14. We're going to pull our truths out. We're going to see Samson's success. Now, we see these other people were defeated. The other people were defeated. God's people were being defeated. Why? Because they were satisfied with the enemy having rule over them. But Samson, he wasn't that way. You know what you got to decide for your life? You got to decide that, hey, listen, everybody else may want to settle for the status quo. Everybody else may not want to, fight the enemy and may be fine with the enemy ruling over their home and the enemy ruling over their life. And they may be fine with that. But listen, I'm not okay with that. I want better for myself. I want better for my family. I want better for my kids. And so I'm not going to settle for letting the enemy have rule and reign over my life. I'm going to do something about it. And so that's where Samson comes in. And Samson, he went against the way everybody else thought. They were fine. Hey, they have rule over us, so we're just going to deliver you into their hands to make them happy. They saw the person that can deliver them and still refused to take it. I mean, what sense does that make? And so Samson had a completely different view on what success is. And so the world had a view of success was you just do what I tell you to do, and you just do what I tell you to do, and you just settle for this, and you just let me have rule over you. That was their idea of success. But Samson, his idea of success was doing what God said to do. His idea of success was being led by God and empowered by God. And so let's take a look at it there in verse 14. And so we see they bind up Samson and they take him over across the mountain there. And the Bible says in the latter part of verse 13, the Bible says they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. And so now they are delivering their deliverer, their friend, into the hands of the enemy. So we get here in verse 14, the Bible says, and when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And so what do we see? How can I be a successful Christian in my life? Well, for one, to be a successful Christian in your life, you're going to have to rely on God's power. You're going to have to rely on God's power. Now, we see here that Samson, here he was being led by the world, he was being led by his friends over there to the enemy. And they got over there, so you got to get this in your mind, you got to imagine this. And so here he is, Samson, he's walking, he's bound up, and you got all these men, man, they're taking him down there to the Philistines. The Philistines are down there, they are ready to fight him, they are ready to kill and destroy him. They see Samson coming. And here they are, they see him coming, they're over here, they see him, and they begin to shout because they have such anger and such hatred for this man of God. They want to see him go down, they can't stand him, they want to kill him, and so they begin to shout against him. And then when that began to happen, we see the Bible says there in the text that God empowered him. The Bible says the Spirit, capital S there, that's the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. What happened here? God empowered him to be able to fight off the enemy. Listen, we're trying to fight off the enemy in our homes. We're trying to fight off the enemies in our schools. We're trying to fight off the enemies in our communities and across the world. We're trying to fight off our enemies, going about it, I think, many times the wrong way. Listen, we need God going out before us, amen? Whether it's in our homes, whether it's in our churches, whether it's in our community, whether it's across the world, whatever our enemy is, whoever our enemy is, man, we need God going before us. The Bible says here that God strengthened him, that God empowered him. And listen, you want to break down the strongholds that are in your life personally. You want to break down the strongholds that are in your home. And you begin to, I mean, you think to yourself that the battles and the struggles that you have day in and day out, things that you can't overcome and giants that you're facing, and you wonder if they'll ever go down and all these different things. Listen, God can empower you and God can strengthen you to have victory. And that's exactly what happened. What happened to his hands? Listen, the Bible says he was walking over there. The enemy saw him. The Bible says he was walking over there. And notice what happens. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax, was burnt with fire, as his bands loose from off his hands. Listen, there's a lot of people that feel bound up. There's a lot of homes that feel bound up. Different situations in people's eyes where they feel bound up, whether it's by besetting sins, things they're battling with, struggling with, all different kinds of things. And people feel like they're bound up and they feel like they're being led away to the slaughter. Bound up, feel like they're just waiting. They could just die at any moment. The enemy could just have his way and kill them at any second. But listen, we serve a God that can empower you, a God that can strengthen you, a God that can enable you to do all things. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Not just a few things, not just some things, not just this or that, but the Bible says, I can do all things. Why is that? Because God can do all things. And if God can do all things, then he can empower you and strengthen you to do all things. So why in the world do we want to settle for being bound up? Why in the world do we want to settle for being led to the slaughter? I mean, we got lots of people today that are bound up in sin. They feel like they can't break free. They can't do it. And they're just being led right into the enemy. The enemy's waiting over there. He sees you coming. He starts shouting. He's ready for you to go down. He's ready for you to die. He's ready to destroy your life personally. He's ready to destroy your home. The Bible says the devil as a roaring lion is seeking whom he may devour. And he sees you coming and he's wanting to bring you down and he's wanting to destroy your life. And we're just being led right into the lion's mouth. But listen, you serve a God that is able to strengthen you and empower you and give you exactly what you need. So don't you dare sit here and think today that it is just the way it is. Listen, we serve a God that changes things. We serve a God that can do anything. So it's not just the way it is. We serve a God that can do anything and things can happen and big things can change and God can move in a tremendous way. So don't you settle for less this morning. And don't you let the devil say to you that you may as well just settle for less because this is just the way it is. No, it's not just the way it is. It can be better than what it is right now. It can be better than this. And you got to believe that in your heart, man. You got to see it. You got to see it. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. Listen, if you don't have a vision for yourself, you don't have a vision for your family, if you don't have a vision for any of these things, the Bible says that where there is no vision, the people will perish. Listen, when you say this is just the way it is, it's not going to get any better and nothing's going to change. You know what that means? You've lost your vision. You need to get your vision back. You need to see that things can be different, that things can change, that I don't have to be led to the slaughter. I don't have to let the enemy rule over me. I don't have to let the enemy devour me today, but I can be victorious. The Bible says there in the text, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. So we see, how can I be successful? A Christian, be empowered by God. Be empowered by God. What did Jesus say? John 15, without me, you can do all things. Is that what he said? He said, without me, you can do what? Nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. You can't do anything. So you know what that tells us? That tells us that if we want to get anything done in the Spirit, then we need him. Because without him, you can't do anything. So how many of us are trying to fight these spiritual battles that are going on in our personal lives and in our homes, in our communities, in our churches all across the world? How many of us are fighting these spiritual battles and we're trying to do it in our own strength? You know what happens when you ever felt like you were standing in the same? How many of you ever watched cartoons whenever you were little? How many ever watched cartoons now? And so you ever seen those cartoons where the person's trying to get away so fast he's sitting in the same spot spinning his feet? I mean, he ain't going nowhere, but he's booking it, but he's not going anywhere. Yeah, sometimes we feel like that's what's going on in our life. Man, we are spinning wheels. Man, we got our feet moving so fast you can't even see them. But we're going nowhere, getting nothing done. Burning up time, burning up energy, burning up effort, and getting absolutely nothing done. Absolutely nothing done. Not going anywhere. That's what it's like when you try to do something in your own strength. That's what it's like when you try to do something in your own power. But listen, when you rely on God to give you what you need, and you say, Lord, I need your strength. I need your power. God, I can't do this on my own. Listen, I need God every day. What's that song? I need thee every hour. Need thee every hour. Listen, I need God every day. I need him every second. Not just every hour. I need him every second. Let me tell you this. When you rely on God's strength every second of the day, every minute, every hour of the day, then what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What you're doing is you're admitting, you're saying, God, I'm humbling myself before you. God, I'm getting on my knees. I'm humbling myself before you. God, I know I'm insufficient. God, I know that I need you. God, I need you to be in complete control. I need you to empower me. God, show me what I need to do. God, help me. Lord, empower me for the situation that I'm in. Help me to defeat this battle. Help me to fight this giant. And I guarantee you God will do it. The Bible says there in the text, How do we become a successful Christian in our life? Well, Samson, he relied on the power of God. And whenever he relied on the power of God, what do we see? We see that his bands loosed. What had him bound up fell to the ground. What had his life bound up began to fall. The Bible says that his bands, they was like they caught on fire and just melted away like wax. I mean, they just fell off his hands. They loosed him. Why? Because the power of God done that. And listen, the power of the Lord, the power of God will help you to be a successful Christian. So we see Samson's success was based on the power of God, not on his own strength, not on his own know-how, not on his own ability, not on his own intellect, not on any of those kinds of things, but his success relied solely on the power of what God could do through him. Now take a look at it. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms, they became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. How to be successful today in your Christian life is rely on the power of God. Now watch this. In verse 15, the Bible says, and he found a new jawbone of an ass, and he put forth his hand, and he took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And so here we see thousands of men come up against Samson. He comes across the hilltop. They bring him down from the rock. He goes across down, he's going down in the hill, and he's all being thousands of Philistines are out there. They see him coming, they're shouting. Man, they're charging after him. They're gonna slay him, they're gonna kill him. And as he's standing there looking at him, the Holy Spirit of God comes upon him, breaks the bands loose from his hands, and he looks over, and lo and behold, right where he is, there is, the Bible says, anew, that means fresh, there's the fresh jawbone of a donkey sitting right there. And the Bible says he slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. Now let me ask you this. Now, do you think in your mind that when he went to battle, that one of the things that he was looking for and searching for was the jawbone of a donkey to defeat his enemy? No. What do you think would probably be what he would be looking for? Well, a sword, probably. Probably a sword, probably a long sword, you know, that he can, you know, slay his enemy from a distance, maybe a spear, a javelin, or maybe something like that, maybe an axe, you know, and all this kind of stuff. You know, the ideal weapons that we would think hand-to-hand combat would be, but that wasn't there. You know what was there whenever he looked? A jawbone of a donkey. So you know what he used? The jawbone of a donkey. His situation wasn't very ideal. The way things were going wasn't necessarily an ideal situation to be in. I mean, he's fixing to go up against thousands, and he has no weapons. He has nothing. They have swords and shields and helmets and spears and arrows. They have all this stuff, and he has nothing. And so he looks over, and know what God provided for him? A jawbone of a donkey. And you scratch your head and you think, man, that's not really that much. I mean, is that the best God could do? The best God could do is give him a jawbone of an animal? I mean, we do serve a mighty God, right? I mean, we do serve a God that can do all things. I mean, he could just make a sword. He could just put a sword right there. I mean, the best sword that the world has ever seen, he can put it right there. Just, boom, there it is. But you know what? He didn't do that. He let Samson use exactly what was already there. He just had to look for it. You say, what do you mean? Listen, I think a lot of times we see that in our life, in our Christian life, you know, we'll say, God, if I had this, God, if I could only do that. God, if I had this and I can do that, man, I could really be successful. Man, I could do all these different things, and man, it would just be awesome if I only had this. Why not try using what God's already put there? Amen. You can do more with what God's already put there than what it is that you may be necessarily thinking that you really need to get the job done. That's exactly right. You say, man, it's a jawbone. What's he going to do with a jawbone? I mean, great. I mean, it's not a sword. It's not a spear. It's none of that. It's just a jawbone of an animal. What's he going to do with that? He killed 1,000 men with it. You know what I found? I found that God likes to take the small things and do something with small things that just blew people's minds. Because you know what they do? They think. They sit there and they look at it and thinking, how in the world did this happen? Because God did it. God wants everybody to see. Listen, you don't rely on the strength of the sword. You don't rely on the strength of the horse. You don't rely on the strength of that shield. You rely on what I'm going to provide for you and give you to get the job done. And I've said this many times before. I think Samson, you know, we look in the children's books and we see Samson as this real big, huge guy. Big muscles and everything, you know, like your preacher this morning. I mean, just, you know. We see that in these books, and that's the vision that we get. But I think Samson was probably a little bitty guy. Probably skin and bones. And whenever he whipped everybody up, they probably thought, how in the world does he do this? How does this little guy kick everybody's tail? How does this little guy do all these things? The power of God. The power of God comes upon him, and the power of God enables him and helps him to get done what nobody else thought could get done, just like he used the jawbone of that donkey there. I think sometimes in life, we just need to look around at what's right there. What's right there? Listen, God can do a lot with what's just right there. Yeah. So don't just sit around and think, well, if only I had this or if only I had that. I know we've all been there and done it. I know it. But don't find yourself constantly sitting around just thinking, man, if I only had this, I can do that. If I only had this, I can do that. Why not try doing something with what God's already given you? And maybe when we do something with what God's already given us, maybe God will place something there better or put something there more or add a little bit more to it. You think, but the jawbone of a donkey? Listen, what did Noah have when he built the ark? Did he have a whole bunch of cat machines out there? Did he have all these excavators and bulldozers? And did he have all this equipment to work with that we see today to build the ark? Did he have any of that stuff? No. What did he have? Hey, boy, go over and cut down that tree. That's what he had. He had his sons. He had the tools that were available to him to make a boat that never sank. And never even leaked. Never leaked. I mean, not one drop of water came inside that boat. You know why? Because God was in it. God shut that door. God was in that boat with them. Not one drop of water ever came in that boat. The boat never sank. And they used what God gave them. What God gave them. We think about Peter. He was out there in his fishing boat. He went out there and he said, he went out there to fish. He couldn't catch anything. He came back a little bit later on. God says, let me tell you what. He says, Lord, what are we going to do? We need to pay the temple tax. How are we going to pay the temple tax? And he says, I tell you what. He says, go down there to the sea. Cast a hook in. And the first fish that you pull up is going to have money in his mouth. He said, take that money in the fish's mouth and pay the temple tax with it. That's pretty impressive. Now, how many ever went fishing and caught money and saw a fish had money in his mouth? I've never done that. I've caught some fish, had some weird looking things going on in there, but I've never caught any fish that had money in his mouth. Jesus said, you go down there, you throw out a hook. You mean a hook? You want me to go fishing? Well, we're going to take care of this problem by me going fishing. Yeah, that's right. You just do what God said to do. You throw in what God said to throw in at. You think about, well, what about Jesus fed the 5,000? And they got a little boy over here. He's got two fish and a couple loaves of bread. How in the world are we going to feed all these people, they said, with two fish and a couple of loaves of bread? How is this going to happen? Because when God's in it, anything can happen. What did Moses have? How did Moses do what he did? He had a stick. He had a stick. Now, we can come out here and find a stick anywhere, right? In Virginia, you can come out and pick up a rock anywhere. Find a stick. That's all he had. But that stick was filled with the power of God. That jawbone was filled with the power of God. You use what it is that's there. What am I going to do? How am I going to defeat the enemy? How am I going to overcome this situation? With the power of God, and with not only the power of God, but the provision of God. That's what that jawbone is, the provision of God. Let's move forward. The Bible says there in verse 16, "And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass and heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And the Bible says it came to pass there in verse 17, "And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand. He won the battle. He threw the jawbone away and called that place Ramoth Lehi." And where was it the Bible says that he was fighting at? He was fighting on a place called Lehi. You know what's interesting about that place, the place Lehi? You know what it means? Jawbone. That's what the place means. The name of the place where he found the jawbone means jawbone. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that something? God provided, on the very battlefield that he was fighting, God gave him exactly what he needed. Exactly what he needed. The very place that he was fighting on, the place was called Lehi, which means cheek or jawbone. And that's exactly what God gave him. He gave him a jawbone to fight with. Something that blew their minds. Now, can you imagine, as an inexperienced swordsman, going to fight a guy, you got a sword, a shield, a helmet, and you got all this. And you're going up against a guy that all he's got, this little bitty guy, in my mind, this little guy there that's skinny, I mean, he's not real massive guy, you know, anything. What could he do? And this little humbling-looking guy, and he's got a jawbone in his hand. And you're going to go fight him. And you see that he's unslayed hundreds of guys already with a jawbone. Now, I think it would kind of probably make some of you think, you know, I don't know if it's a good idea or not. You know, you kind of look back. Anybody that can kill 1,000 people with a jawbone, maybe we don't need to mess with this guy. But I tell you what, when God's in it, he can do some tremendous things. And notice what happens there in verse 17. The Bible says, verse 18, the Bible says, "And when he was sore thirst," the battle was over. The Bible said he was sore thirst and he called on the Lord. You know what that is? That's his prayer. So how can we be successful Christians? Number one, we rely on the power of God. Number two, we rely on the provision of God. Number three, we rely on the prayer to our God. Man, you got to be a person of prayer. Make sure that you are praying to God. Make sure that you are asking God to do great things. Listen, I believe in specific prayer. I believe in my heart that if you want a kitten that has that is solid white and has black speckles on his nose and red feet and a big furry tail, and that's what you want, then you pray for it and specifically ask for it. I believe that with all my heart. I believe you pray specific prayers. Because I tell you what, when God answers them, how exciting that is. I pray specifically for something, and God gave me exactly what I prayed for. If you want to be a successful Christian in your life, you're going to have to rely on the power of God. You're going to have to rely on the provision of God, not just what you think you need, but what God knows you need. Amen? Not what you think you need, but what God knows you need. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. Listen, we all have these things that we think we really just have to have. Amen? We got it? Lord, how many of you ever see this? Lord, I just have to have this. Oh, Lord, and we spend a lot of time prayer. Oh, Lord, I just have to have this. And we really don't have to have it. We really don't need it. We really want it, but we really don't need it. The Bible shows us here, we rely on what God's going to provide for us, not just what we think we would like to have. Oh, I'd really like to have a sword, God, to defeat the enemy. God says, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a jawbone. Lord, I'd really would like to have a battle axe, a javelin. You know, I'd really like to have this. I really need this for this fight. God says, I'll give you a jawbone. I'm going to win with a jawbone. If God's in that jawbone, you'll win every time. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? If God gives you a jawbone this morning, you say, you're praying about something, you say, Lord, this is what I need. God, this is what I need. Lord, this is what I need. And you look over there and it seems like God's providing a jawbone when you really need a sword. And God says, no, I'm giving you a jawbone. You say, God, I really would like to have this. And God says, no, this is what I'm giving you. Listen, if God's in that jawbone, you can do anything. Anything. Be a person of prayer. The Bible says there in verse 18, he was sore thirst. And he called on the Lord. He said, thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. And now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? He says, Lord, I fought this great battle. I'm tired. I'm wore out. I feel like I'm about to die. Listen, you know what happens whenever we're fighting spiritual battles and physical battles in our life? We wear out. We get tired. And sometimes we feel like we just can't take anymore. I'm about to die. I'm going to fall down right here. God, I just can't take it. I've been fighting and I've been fighting and I've slayed this enemy and I've slayed this enemy. And Lord, I'm tired and I'm thirsty and I need to be revived. And that's how we feel like in our life. Man, we're fighting things and battling things, and we're not sure if we can go the next day. I'm not sure if I can rear my hand back one more time with that jawbone. God, I just don't know if I can take another step. Lord, I'm going to have you help. And he says, Lord, I feel like I'm going to die right here. You ever been there? Mm-hmm. I have too. You know what happened? God heard exactly what he said. He began to pray. He began to talk to the Lord about the situation, about the problem. And God heard what he had to say. And the Bible says he was sore thirst there in verse 18. He called on the Lord. He began to pray. You want to be successful in your Christian life? Be a person of prayer. And he said, thou hast given this great deliverance. He gave God the credit. God, you did this, not me, into the hand of thy servant. And now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? Lord, I feel like I'm going to die right here. And that's what happened there in verse 19. We see God's power, God's provision. We see his prayer to God. And then watch what happens. We see God's place. Watch what happens there in verse 19. The Bible says, but God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name of that place En Hakkor, which is in Lehi unto this day. En Hakkor means the spring that came from the caller. In other words, I got what I asked for, or I prayed for water and you gave it to me, you know, so to speak. So here he was about to die of thirst. He couldn't go no more. The battle was done, but he felt like he was just depleted. You ever felt like you was just depleted? You just can't do no more. You just done, you know? And he says, I'm going to die right here. And God knew exactly what he needed. And what did God do? What did God do? Well, the Bible talks about, notice that verse in verse 19. The Bible says, and God clave a hollow place that was there, that was in the jaw there. Talking about over there, he threw the jaw on the ground. And over there, where that jaw was, God on the ground caused water to come out of it. Get this now. He's done with the fight. He throws the jawbone away. He says, Lord, I'm about to die. I'm thirsty. I'm going to die right here. I'm wore out, Lord. I can't take anymore. And God hears his prayer. And over there where that jaw is, next thing you know, up out of the ground comes this water, comes bubbling up out of the ground. And it creates a spring that runs down through. And you know what he did? He gets over there and he sees this spring running out of this jaw over here, and he gets down and he starts drinking of that water that God provided for him. They came out of the ground that was coming out of the jaw of what he fought with. And you tell me that God can't do anything. You tell me that whenever I'm fighting and I'm battling, that God can't strengthen me for the fight, that God can't provide what I need for the fight. And you tell me, that when the battle is over and I feel like I'm depleted and done and I can't do another thing, you tell me that God can't give me what I need to revive me again. That God can't revive my spirit and lift me up and bring me back to where I need to be. Because that's exactly what God did. God provided not only the strength for him, but God caused water to come up out of the ground right where he needed it. Right where he needed it. Right in the place where God appointed it at. Let me tell you this before we close this morning. I think in my heart, that we can be successful Christians when we ask God to empower us and strengthen us. When we pray and we ask God, when we are men of prayer, women of prayer, and we ask God to empower us, and we pray about our needs and our desires. Whenever we are looking around for God's provision. Because listen, I think sometimes God's doing a lot around us. We're just not paying attention. We're just not paying attention. Sometimes God is doing so much stuff around us, but we're so busy going 80 miles an hour in life that we can't stop to see it. We're so busy just zooming through life and so busy just going full speed ahead. We're saying, God, this is what I need. And Lord, I need you to provide this for me. And God says, listen, I gave you what you needed. It's about 50 miles back that way. You just missed it. Because you ain't slowing down enough to pay attention to what it is that I'm providing for you. Look around and see it. But God, I needed a sword. But listen, I'm going to give you a jawbone. How miraculous is that going to be? Man, that's going to blow everybody's minds that you slay 1,000 people with a jawbone. Because if you do it with a sword, they'll say, well, the sword did it. Now they're going to say, God did it. Because see, the whole situation, the whole deal was, is that God would be lifted up, not man. That God would be lifted up. In the midst of the great battle, in the midst of the trial, in the midst of everything that was going on, that people would look to Jesus, that people would look to God, because see, that's what our life's about. It's about pointing people to God, pointing people to the right direction, not in my power, not in my strength, not in the possessions that I have, not in any of these things, but how what God can use, what God can empower me with, and what God can provide me with for His honor and glory, that would point people to God. That's why He didn't give him a sword. Because He wanted people to say, only God can do something like that. Because it wasn't about Samson. It wasn't about Samson. It was about pointing people to God and getting people to say, hey, listen, they serve a God that can do something like this. I think we're on the wrong side here. We got to get past that pride and say, you know what, it's not about me, it's about Him. It's not about me, it's about Him. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you so much, Lord, for your power. We thank you for your provision. We thank you for answered prayers. We thank you for that place in our life. That where we're at right here today, that where we're at, that you can cause water to come up out of dry ground right here. And we look around in our life and we say, you know, it's dry. There's nothing here. And I'm thirsty and I'm about to die. If you'll stop long enough and you'll look, I think you'll see that God is providing a lot of things right there around you. And He can cause water to come up out of a dry ground to give you the reviving that you need in your life. And you feel like your life is dry, you've been battling, you've been fighting as the piano plays, and you've been fighting and you've been battling. You're struggling this morning. You're wondering how much longer are you going to be able to go. And you're saying just like Samson, God, I'm just not sure if I could do anymore. God, I need some help. God, I need to be revived in my spirit. And Lord, I look around and it seems like everything's dry. There's nothing around. Lord, there's no water. I need water. There's nothing around. What I need isn't here. God, I need you to help me. And then lo and behold, out of that place, God's place, out of that place where He was, God caused a creek to form out of that dry ground. out of that place that was dry and that place that was bare and that place that seemed like there was nothing there whatsoever. Listen, there's a devil out here that'll tell you, listen, there's nothing there at all. You're going to die right here. There's nothing left. And God says, hold on a minute now. I can bring water out of dry ground. And that's exactly what he did. He brought water out of dry ground and provided for this thirsty soul. And he can do the same thing for you today. You say, preacher, I'd like to know more about this God. Well, if you want to know more about this God, you're going to have to know more about my Jesus. And if you want to know more about Jesus this morning, I encourage you to come on up here. Let me show you from God's Word how you can be saved. Say, I want to know how to get saved. I want to know more about this God. I want to know more about this Jesus that died for me, that shed his blood for me so that I could go to heaven. I want to know more about this Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, we'll just stand up all across the church this morning. As we open up the altar, if God has spoken to your heart about something, you just want to come down here and pray, man, I encourage you. Be a man or a woman of prayer. Be a man or woman of prayer. Amen. As folks make their way. Amen. There's more coming. There's more coming. Be a person of prayer. You want to see those walls come down. You want to see God move and see God do something tremendous. And you come on up here this morning and you ask God. You get on your hands and knees before an almighty God. You admit, you say, God, I can't do this on my own. God, I need your help. And God will give you exactly what you need. It may not be exactly what you were looking for, but it'll be exactly what you need. And don't you look at that jawbone this morning and say, God, this is what you gave me. What am I supposed to do with that? Don't you look at that jawbone and cast doubt on that jawbone. If God gave you a jawbone, God can use it. Don't you cast doubt on that jawbone God gave you today. Because if God's in it, if God's in that jawbone that he's given you this morning, he can do more with that jawbone than he could with that sword. If you're here today and you need to get saved, I encourage you to come. Standing down front. You want to know more about Jesus? You want to know more about how you can get to heaven? How you can know for sure without a shadow of a doubt that you can make your way to heaven? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. If you're here today and you need to get saved, I encourage you to come. Don't you stand there and let the devil tell you you got enough time. The Bible says your life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Don't you believe that lie of the devil this morning that you've got enough time. You say, preacher, I'm not so sure what I need to do this morning. Would there be somebody here that would say, you know what, preacher, I'm lost or I'm not sure if I'm saved. Nobody's looking but me and God. But would you just slip your hand up so I can see you? Preacher, I'm lost. Or I'm not sure if I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that? I'm not gonna point you out. I'm not going to come to you. And nothing like that. But preacher, would you just pray for me? I'm lost. I'm not saved. But would you just pray for me that I'd get things right with the Lord? Anybody anywhere? As we go through one more verse here and we'll close. How was Samson successful? Because he relied on the power of God. He relied on the provision of God. He prayed to God. And he was in God's place. He was right where God needed him to be. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here.